The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States their home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, Masterhood Means Selfless Love, in Houston, Texas, on November 12, 1993.
What do you want for a Buddha? What kind of Buddha do you want?
I want a nice one.
Right. Okay, so I have to sit with you, laugh with you, cry with you. Well, so we have fun together. And this morning somebody asked me, I took some medicine because I am a little bit sick. He said, you are sick? You know, it's just like the way he looked, like, you're supposed to be a Buddha. You don't get sick, right? I said, well, everybody gets sick, so I get sick. Right? We share everything. Just like people in Laguna Beach, the house burned down, not my house, but I give donation. Just because their house burned, just like my house burned. For example, if I were them, if I don't get enlightenment, if I live in that house, and if my house burned, I would be terribly upset and unhappy. So I put myself in their situation. Understand what I mean? So I do something just to comfort them, because their suffering is my suffering. That's the way we are together. We are united. We have to show it somehow. We don't just talk. We don't just say, I love my neighbor, or I am and you are one. But then when they are suffering, oh, it's okay. I have nothing to do with me. Understand what I mean?
Yes.
So when you are sick, I'm sick also. Well, I am here. I have everything that you have. Otherwise, I only have pleasure. It's good to be a Buddha. And everybody can be. Now, you always have illusion about being a master, that you will enjoy a lot more than while you are being disciple. It's not true. If you yearn for God more, the more you long for God, the nearer you are to God, the nearer you are to masterhood, and the nearer you have to understand the master position It means you sacrifice. Masterhood means sacrifice. Yes, you have joy. Yes, that is a very stable joy. It has no effect from the chaotic situation of the world. But you suffer. Suffer for everybody. And if you don't want to be in that situation, then you have to want God less. You have to enjoy the world more and forget God. Forget Master. Okay? Then you will be further, a little bit further from the powerhouse. And then you don't suffer so much and then you enjoy more. Right? Just like the cook in the kitchen now. He has to cook for us. If he wants to enjoy the way we do, he has to leave the kitchen. Let somebody else cook. So somebody has to cook for all these people to enjoy. So the Master is the same. Or if anyone who love Master so much, I don't mean you love me personally or any other Master. I mean when you love the truth so much, when you want nothing else but God, then you're very near to Master, you know, Master power, Master quality. And that's when you don't enjoy. I'm sorry to say, that's a very paradoxical thing. But that's the way it is. So, if you don't want this sacrifice unintentionally, you want more kind of heavenly mansion or heavenly light and all that kind of fancy stuff, then you don't yearn too much. That's why in Zen they say, the more you desire enlightenment, the less you get, because you obstruct yourself with your desire. But a logical way of speaking is that because you're too near. You know what I mean? You want it too much, that you're so near. You desire that thing so much, that it's you, it become you, you're obsessed with it. So you have to take on that quality. You know what I mean? The way you want God that much is the saintly person who wants it. And now, if you are a saint, you are a master, a kind of master soul, then you cannot enjoy. Because the whole world suffers. And your soul inside will have to take on the suffer of other people, of the ignorance, of the desperate, I mean, dark, dark experience of the people around the world. So the way now, I don't enjoy the way I did. Now you enjoy. I am the cook now. You know what I mean? I cook in the kitchen all the time. I cannot sit on the table with you with our fancy clothes and with people serve you like this, but I cook. You know what I mean? I don't even get to see you. You know what I mean? So, similar with the Master. Therefore, the more you yearn for God, the less you see. I'm sorry to say, if everybody else tell you differently. If you yearn halfway, you get it half. If you yearn too much, and you see not much, you suffer. Okay? Because you'll be too near to God, and God knows everything. God knows the suffering of mankind. And in this world, there is more suffering than joy. Understand? So many masters never enjoy this world. But it's good so. Because they don't come to enjoy. If you want to enjoy, then you have to come back again, be an ignorant person, and start to enjoy again. If you are already a professor of mathematics or English, and you want to sit in the class and get taught, get served and get loved by a teacher again, that's ridiculous. That's the only way you get the same attention again as you were a student. Most of us have been students in our life and we regret afterward that we didn't enjoy the student time. Well, I did. Everybody told us when we were students, everybody told us that it's the best time that we could have. But we never know. We don't appreciate it. We want to be professor right now or better yesterday. Right? Until we become professor or teacher, then we thought, wow, it was good to be student, right? Carefree. And, you know, everything was easier, you know, and I don't know what, youthful, right? No responsibility, and we just party here, party there, and girlfriend here, boyfriend there. Everything was just so easy, right? That's it. But then you cannot go back to be student again, because you already become professor. Even if you now throw away your degree and go and sit again with the student. You don't have the same experience and then you complain, why? You say, why? why I don't enjoy the way she does, the other students enjoy, why I don't? Because you pass that enjoyment. You can't go back, you can't turn back the clock. So whether you have to recognize yourself, whether you are a beginner in this path, which you enjoy more than everyone else, or you have not yet reached the beginning stage of spiritual practice, or you pass beyond the enjoyment stage. There are three stages of enlightenment, languagely speaking. The first is the ignorance stage. You have not even begin to want to practice. You have not even go further than materialism. The second phase is that you are enlightened. You see the light, you see God, you see a heavenly mansion, you see all kinds of things while you're in samadhi. You enjoy all this bliss. And the third path is that you pass that. Okay? Just like in school. First, you did not enroll in university. You are nobody. You're just a high school dropout or nothing. Okay? Now, second, you enroll, right? Enroll is the second path. And you begin to learn something in the university. The third path, you graduated. Understand? So we practitioners have different levels. Just be at ease with yourself. That's where you are. And don't ask for more than you can digest at the time. And don't ask ridiculous things, like you are already a professor, for example, and want to enjoy the student's life. Because the age is different. The mentality is different. Yes. And if you ask me as a master, can do everything for you. Yes, I can. But what for? What for do you want heaven anyhow? We should make this world into heaven, not to escape into it. It's okay when you sit and you have heaven. Naturally, fine. But if you always desire for it, this is also queer. You know what I mean? We are not beggar. If he doesn't give you, don't bother. He's not generous enough, maybe. Okay? It's his fault. And if a creator can afford to make such mistake as to overlook you, then the more we don't need to see him. I don't even have time to pay attention to all these heavenly signs, because I use my time to serve you. I only give. I don't want nothing from God. And I want nothing from you. That's very important. So, we have to serve selflessly, and everything else will come. The kingdom of God is not for yourself alone. If I have a kingdom of God, everybody must fit in. Otherwise, I don't go there. I wait for everybody. Yes. What's the good of me sitting there alone, or with you, or with a few disciples enjoying the kingdom of God, and the whole mankind crawling, groveling on the earth with suffering and all that? So the kingdom of God comes after everybody else is enlightened. If it comes to that, I believe to work for everyone else's happiness than to work for my own. So if you continue on that path, you will have more satisfaction than any vision can give you. Okay? So don't be stray from that. Don't get stray. Yeah? Okay, you're doing okay. Just do that. Just serve people, and you have more satisfaction than any vision, than any light or any Buddha's appearance can give you. I tell you the truth. Okay? Right. So let's be the cooks and not the guests all the time. Yeah? Thank you. But you do. But you're not satisfied. You thought the guests must be more than that. Because you cook all the time, and then sometimes you go into a restaurant, you imagine that a guest would be such and such. But the guest is only there just to eat, and then that's it. You pay your money and then you go home, no big deal. Similarly, if we have a spiritual vision, sometimes because we expect too much, we think a vision must be this and that and others. It's not, you know what I mean? It's a very ordinary thing. It's not like electric shock that you know when it comes or when it goes. It's very gentle. The transition between materialism into a spiritual sphere is very, very gentle. Therefore, it's not a kind of astral projection that you know when you're out of the body. because it's not the way of the true spiritual practice. True spiritual practice is yourself, ease the self into different dimensions in such a very gentle and graceful way that you don't even know you were there, because you have no more ego while you were there. Otherwise you would know, now I'm on the first, now I'm on the second, now I'm on the third, I'm the saint, third degree or third years. It's no good. Because, I tell you why, because we're already always there where we want to be. So what is the point of knowing where you're going and what degree you reach? For example, maybe when you first graduate in law school, are you proud? Yes, you probably tell everybody about it, make many parties, because you want to celebrate your graduation as a doctor of law. But after some years, you don't even remember that you are a lawyer, no? Occasionally people ask, you would remember, but without any pride, without any elation, without any happiness, nothing, because you are just that. Nothing new to you. Similarly, some of us are so acquainted with spiritual elation that it becomes like breathing. That is the way it should be, actually. It's not always that I sit here and watch in the Buddha's land, because then we are still separated. We are not in the Buddha land, we are watching the Buddha land. We and the Buddha land are two. The nearer masterhood, the more ignorant you will become again. That's the paradoxical things of life. That's why in the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu say, the wise is like the fool, yes, ignorant. Yes, you become like recircle again. But it doesn't mean you're ignorant the way you were ignorant before. It's not the same. Before you were truly ignorant. Before you were ignorant, and now you're truly ignorant. Ignorant in a real sense. Before you were ignorant, but you think you're wise. You cheat yourself into wisdom and think that you know everything. But now you know that you're truly ignorant, and that's when you are wise. Because when you're empty, then you are full. Yeah? The universe is yours. So this is a complete vegetarian diet, bloodless, boneless, fleshless. All you have is the essence of life. Nothing more. And it's nice to have dinner without thinking of someone else have to suffer for it, right? Okay, that's the main reason for vegetarian diet. Otherwise, the Buddha don't care what you eat, and God doesn't tell you anything. You choose your own way of life, and choose whatever, the less suffering the better, for us as well as for others. Yeah, they have asked me many things this morning about why vegetarian, and apart from spiritual standpoint, there are also health standpoint, yeah? All scientists have proved that meat is not good for us, right? So they accepted that.
Master, nobody has said this yet, and I'd like to say it on behalf of everybody here in Houston. We're both honored and we're very delighted that you came here.
I'm also glad to be here. One of the guys this morning just told me that he considered himself the most mundane person in the world. And so he considered me, or he heard people say I'm the most saintly person. So he came, so he wants to see what he feels. The most mundane and the most saintly person sit together, and he say he feel nothing. He expect to feel something and he feel nothing. I told him I also feel nothing. Well, too bad. It's a bad joke, but it's true. He came and expect a big fishing, but he got nothing. How can he get anything? For example, this gentleman, he knows martial art, right? So if only if you know a little bit of martial art, and when he demonstrates something, then you know he knows. Otherwise, you don't even know. The raise of his hand is different from the other people raise hand, for example. Yeah? The way he walk, or the way he look at you, or the way he pose himself somewhere. He's always on the defense or not defense. But if you don't have martial art, a little bit of knowledge, you never detect that. Yes? And the best martial arts master, you never can detect. That's the best one. He never moved. I told you about the story of the chicken, yeah? No? You want to hear it now?
Yes.
You know the fighting cock? Yes. And there was a king of China. He loved cock fighting. You know, the two chicken cocks fight together. And they bet on that. They still do now. But it happened that a king got involved in it. He loved cock fighting. So he told one of his best, he has one of the best cockfighter racer, right? So he give him one to take care, the best race, so take care of him so that he become a fighting hero, next champion next time. And so that person keep raising him. And then after a month or so passed by, the king asked, is he ready? Is the cock ready? He said, no, not yet. The king said, why? He said, he's not even near. And the king said, well, what happened to him? He said, well, when he saw any cock around, even very far away, he started to show off and excited, and his wings hang in the air, and his claws shut out, and everything like that. He's terrible, lousy. So the king said, all right, continue to raise him and train him. So another month or so passed by, and the king asked, is he ready now? He said, no, no, no. He's better, though. But he still get very excited when he see other cock around, so he don't say, okay, no good. So he keep rising again, and many months pass by, and then the king fed up and forget all about this useless chicken, huh? Yes. But then one day, the cock riser come to report to the king that now he's ready. So the king said, why? Why? Well, how you know he's ready? He said, because now, even all the cock just see him from afar, and he doesn't do nothing, but they're afraid. From afar, the other cocks already start to be afraid of him, and he does nothing. He just walk around, and the other cocks are running away from him. So that's when he's ready. He doesn't look like a fighting cock anymore. He just be himself, and everybody is afraid. Yes, he has all power now. So when the all power is complete, it doesn't leak, you see. No way to leak out, so you don't know it. That's why in many of the sutra, people say, when you're complete enlightened, you're very ordinary. Ordinary mind is the enlightened mind, yeah? 平常心是道, they say like that. But most of people like to frame a teacher or any of their idols into a square and lock them inside there. And that's the way they want them to be. And if you are unfortunate enough to let your ego like this kind of worship and identify yourself with that kind of framed personality, then you're done. You're done. In any field at all. God will not come to the house of a person who doesn't welcome anyone else except God. He wants company. All right. That is the story I read in a Jewish book. Right. One of the rabbi, right? He was always fed up with people always come to see him. So he asked for seclusion, right? He went on retreat and he see nobody. The ascended Abraham, but probably he will appear to him in every Passover, probably like that. But in that Passover, he didn't appear. So the rabbi was panicking and keep always praying and praying. And then so finally, Father Abraham appeared to him and said, well, you want no one at your door. So I thought, I'm included. How can I come into a house when you don't welcome anybody? You know what I mean? That's what Father Abraham answered. So he understood them. From that day on, he welcomed everyone. So Abraham came to him all the time. Even past the Passover, he also come. Because that's the way he wants. If you welcome him, you welcome his children. That's what it is.
We are very happy to have you with us today on Words of Wisdom. May your spirit be light and bright with God's blessings and grace.